Moncrief on News Talk
with Gas Networks Ireland. Natural gas is compatible with a wide range of modern appliances. gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.
Anyway, it is time, I'm delighted to say, for Movies and Booze, Esther McCarthy, Jean Smullen join us once again.
Hello.
Good afternoon to you both.
How are you?
And I suppose, would it be fair to say there is a kind of a slightly romancy theme to today's proceedings, given next Wednesday is the day
Absolutely.
When we're all supposed to buy cards?
Yes, this is the love show.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. And are there, and so presumably we're going to be drinking some champagne.
We have Bollinger Rosé.
Okay.
You can't be that. And we have a wine called Love.
Okay, well, that's pretty up there. And, of course, we're going to be talking about one of the most romantic films of all time.
Absolutely, because nothing screams romance like bringing your loved one to film a really bad movie with people spanking each other and no plot.
So. Yeah. There's worse things you could do, really. Yeah,
Is there really?
I don't know, actually, yeah. What puzzles me about the 50... I assume the first two 50 Shades films made... pots of money,
absolute fortune. Yeah, they're huge, and there hasn't been diminishing returns either, which is unusual for a series or films with sequels. You know, it always gets, the odds are always shortened a little with each resulting movie, except the notable exception maybe of the Avengers films, Marvel's Avengers films, that just seem to get bigger and bigger and bigger. But these, yeah, no, I think the first two have made over a billion at the box office, and they're cheap to make. There isn't a lot of stunt work or action or, you know, well, there is a lot of action, but not the kind of action that costs a lot of money. But yeah, they're just so bad, Sean. 6 hours of my life gone watching these films.
Yeah.
They're just, and this one is... Like, you think you've reached kind of rock bottom and they can't get any worse, and then they release this one, which is the third one in the series, 50 Shades Freed.
Your woman wrote 3 books.
Mm-hmm.
Did she write any more, or
no,
is it safe to come out now?
Well, the consensus seems to be that this is it, but it's terrifyingly open-ended from my point of view, is all I'd say. I did kind of go, hang on a second, where's the, this is the last one we promised a scene and it wasn't really there, and I'm actually terrified that I might have to go and watch it on Sunday. Yeah,
no.
But I'd say Dornan.
Yeah. Dornan was was mortified from the first one.
Absolutely.
I think.
Absolutely, and
signed up.
He's a good actor. Not that you'd see any evidence of it here, you know. But
yeah.
I don't see him signing up for any further films now.
Yeah,
I hope.
What's the name of the woman in it?
Coach Johnson.
Yeah. He seems to have a kind of a career parallel to the, because there's always a danger, even though they pay you, I assume, a lot of money to do it, there's a danger you just ruin your career by appearing in a series like this.
Yes, I had a look at her credits last night, actually, and she's got a heap of films coming up. So,
okay.
Yeah, she's going to probably bounce back from this, I think. Although she's really terrible in this one. And I thought she was, I thought she was the best thing about the first one.
Yeah.
I don't know, is it merely that she's bad, but she is. But I think it's also the character of Anastasia. She's just a complete tick,
Yeah.
She's just so stupid. And it becomes really apparent in this film, even in terms of continuity and stuff. She comes out and looks at a plane and kind of gushes, oh my God, is this your plane? And
yeah.
He says, no, it's our plane. And I'm going, sure, if you're going out with the guy long enough to get married to him, surely you know if he owns a plane by now.
Yeah, that's
so it's that kind
on
of
a
lack,
structural
lack
point.
Of attention to detail.
But also, I mean, that character seemed to me to just sum up everything feminism has tried to fight against.
Yeah.
For 100 years.
Absolutely. And actually, it's worse even in this one, because she comes across as quite the social climber now at this stage, whereas at least there was a glimmer in the first film that she was a fully functioning woman who was aghast at his chamber.
That first film was like, oh no, I'm a young woman who's going to make my way in the world. But as soon as she gets a glimpse of a billionaire with nice buns, she's like, ooh, yeah, tie me down.
Enormous throbbing helicopter.
Yeah. That's the end of that. So she's not really a woman who's, you know, it's just everything's contingent on what the man decides.
Absolutely, yeah. She's a conduit, really. She's not even a character at all at this stage, you know. And it's the lack of effort, though, is what appalls me. Because I love now decent melodrama with a bit of nooky in it. You know, I'm well up for that. And in the 80s and 90s, we had a few very decent ones, and they were very, they were trash, like, but they were good, well acted.
9.5 weeks.
Trash.
Yeah.
Yeah. Basic Instinct was, yeah. I thought, a riot. I thought it was hilarious, like. And the other one with, what's her name? Can't remember now. But, like, there was a few of them. There was a trend for them there for a while, and they were perfectly watchable if not very good, you know. But just a lack of effort from all involved.
Well, actually, yeah, there was one that the secretary or something it was called. But they kind of
Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Yes.
That's great, though.
Yeah, but they didn't take themselves seriously, whereas these films take themselves so seriously.
Yeah. Now, this one's trying to pretend it was in on the joke all along, but I'm not buying that at all.
Yeah. God save us tonight. Spanking or spanking and no plot. I think it's called Pornhub, says one texter. Someone says, Dakota seems to be doing better than Jamie out of all of this. She has all these movies coming out, as Esther says, yet I hear nothing about him. Why?
I'd say he's probably going to choose carefully. He did a very good film last year. It was an Irish production, actually, about the Irish UN guys in Congo.
Yeah, yeah.
It was very good. And I interviewed him for it, actually. And he's a smart guy, nice fella, actually. Very low-key in real life and not at all, you know, very not conceited in any way at all. Mm. So I think he's probably going to pause and take stock now because, I mean, he looks like Jamie Dornan. He's going to get offered parts.
Yeah.
Kind of where you go next, really, isn't it? And what you want to do at this point in your career.
Next film, The Mercy, the other film we're talking about, I should say.
You're going to see a lot of good reviews for this, but I was really disappointed with this.
Actually, no, I looked it up because I hadn't heard of it. All I said was bad reviews.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah, no, I didn't. This lost me early, and I'm kind of wondering what's the statute of limitations on spoilers. Like, this is a film about events that took place in the 1960s. Can we reveal major plot points?
Actual events that took place in the 1960s. Yeah, well, then it's difficult not to, really.
It's difficult not to. But it's about a sailor, a kind of... a guy who sailed for a hobby by the name of Donald Crowhurst, who kind of had this audacious plan that he would enter a competition to be the first, either the first or the fastest around the world, in circumnavigating the globe in one go without stopping, basically.
Mm.
But he'd, you know, beyond kind of weekend jaunts in the boat with his family, he'd never been out at this kind of level at all. So my main difficulty with this at the start is from the start, he seemed selfish and crazy. And I found it, even with Colin Firth playing him, he was a very empathetic actor and I'm a big fan. But even with him playing him, I just struggled to have any kind of connection with this character at all. I thought he was just being barmy, basically.
Yeah.
But it's a really good performance from Firth.
Okay.
I would say, yeah.
Right. Okay. Our hashtag, by the way, on the Twitter machine is finger movies. That's because of the item we did with Graham Finlay earlier in the week about fingerprints. Glove, actually, being one example, and many more, given that it's finger movies that there's no way I'm going to read out. I have a bottle of wine from Greece, which was imported to the USA in 1962. There's no name on the bottle, which is a very different looking bottle. Any ideas?
Greek wine is extremely good. In fact, it's starting to become very, very fashionable again now. I mean, it was the Greeks that actually introduced the Romans to wine and thereby spread it all over Europe and then over the world. Unfortunately, if there's no label on it and you've had it since 1962 and depending on where it's been kept, it's probably not in very good condition at this stage. But, you know, I mean... There are some, like, you know, some of the Mavrodaphne is one grape variety. Askirialote, I can't pronounce it, sorry. I can picture the word, but I can't. I'm not even going to try.
Yeah, don't
but
worry.
You know, I mean, there are so many indigenous grape varieties. I remember... You know, even a couple of years ago,
there have been some very good. It's GAC.
Yeah, but it's GAC, I'd say. Yeah, yeah. I'm not saying Greek wine is GAC. I'm just saying particular bottle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where can I buy El Muro Blanco Macabio from Spain? I had it in the Morgue pub in Temple Oak, Dublin, and it was delicious, says Lisa.
It's Macabeo, is the grape, right?
I thought I'd give it a stab.
If you got it in a pub, you'll find, like the restaurants, that the wines tend to be exclusive to the entree, because the entree basically means hotel. hotels, restaurants. But saying that, there's lots of very, very good Macabeos out there. Super white grape. Go into your local off license, see if they got it. They might be able to get you that particular wine. So there's no harm in asking.
Right. Okay. So we're going to be talking about those two movies and some wines of love after this break. 1890 453 106 is our low call number. Our text number is 53106. That will cost you 30 cent. You can follow us on Facebook or Twitter or send us an email to afternoon@newstalk.com. It is time for movies and booze, or we're already in the midst of movies and booze. We do have a hashtag on Twitter. It is finger movies. Nail Caesar. Thumbelina, of course, is a pretty obvious one that a lot of people have done already. Patter says, gack to describe wine, new one on me. Now, it was just that particular wine. It was probably, since it dates from 1962, has gone off, so it's probably more vinegary. Jean and Esther are with us once again. Hello, wine lady, says the texter. I have a bottle of Cristal that I got for my 21st. I'm now 32. I've kept it in a wardrobe in its box since then. Will it be poison, or will I save it for an occasion, or better yet, is it worth anything?
Yeah, Cristal is one of the premium wines from the House of Louis Roederer, and the wines were originally, it's got a clear, obviously it's called Cristal because it's got a clear white bottle, and it's one of the very few champagnes that doesn't have a punt at the little hole in the bottom of the bottle, so it has a flat bottle.
Okay. Yeah.
And it was originally developed for Tsar Nicholas II, who was the Emperor of Russia.
I thought it was developed for hip-hop artists in the early 90s.
No. Okay. It goes back that far. Right, Cristal was kind of a premium champagne. Now, it has been kind of taken over by all the hip hop artists and everything, but it's still, this is classy. And, you know, Cristal does not come cheap. Mm. I mean, you're talking, yes, it's worth something, but a single bottle isn't going to make, you're not going to be able to resell. So my advice would be drink it. It's going to be lovely. Now, the thing about champagne is once it's been disgorged, that's the best it's ever going to get. If hopefully in its box you've been storing it on the side so that the liquid in the bottle is in touch with the cork, so to keep the cork moist so that air doesn't get in. That's, and if you haven't, do that immediately. But, you know, I mean, how old is she now, 32?
Yeah. So it's, you find know, it, 10 find, years, find, 11 years.
Find, Have some friends over for the 10th anniversary of your 21st or 11th anniversary of your 21st and enjoy it. It's going to be super. And of course, champagne goes with any sort of food. I've been to champagne and I've been to champagne dinners, and they throw every possible class of food: starter, main course, pudding, aperitifs, canapes. It goes with the lot. So that's the good. That's one of its biggest selling points. It's a very food-friendly wine style.
Can you ask the drink guru where I could find beefsteak red wine? I think it was a Malbec. It was delicious.
I have heard of the beefsteak, yes.
God, it's not like, you know, they're completely directing you as to what to have with it.
Exactly, yeah. But, you know, again, depends on where you bought it. Was it in this country? And if it was in a restaurant, you're probably not going to find it in retail. Yeah,
that's the schnag. Anything recommended, especially if free of sulfites? I have found a reasonably priced 1150 Merlot Biodynamic, but wonder what else is out there, red or white. Margaret wants to know.
Well, now we're into natural wine territory, Margaret, and really, that is one. I was just reading the other day the trends, wine trends for 2018, and one of the key wine trends is natural wine, and that's wine that has very little sulfur or practically none. Now, there's some, like somewhere like Green, like the only place I know in Dublin off the top of my head, Green Man Wines in Terenure Eure has a very good range of natural wines. You could also try Le Caveau in Kilkenny, try 64 Wine or Mitchell's in Glasthoon. It's not a huge volume seller, but the one thing you've got to be aware of is that natural wines tend to be a lot more expensive than your €10 Merlot.
Yeah.
You're going to have to pay for the low sulfur. It's, you know, it's just they're so handcrafted. They're much more expensive than the average wine.
Question we get a lot. Are there any decent alcohol-free red wines? I'm serious, says this person.
Yeah, the Naturo by Torres is one of the better ones I've tried. There's certainly, you always find them in the supermarkets right down on the lowest shelf in the supermarket, which is, so you practically have to get down on your hands and knees. So there are, Ariel is another range. Gallo has a range. And actually what's happening now that's very much on trend, and in fact I saw it was even in the news the other day, the low alcohol wines, I saw it on the BBC or something, somebody giving out about the fact that they're now tasting like lemonades and they're, you know, kind of, but they have about 5% alcohol by volume. But that's another trend for 2018.
Okay,
are these 5% ABV wines. Like, for example, the Kiwis have one called Brancott Flight, which they've just introduced, which I tried, which is actually quite good. I think the ABV on the Brancott Flight is about 8 to 10%. But if you're talking no alcohol at all, I'm afraid, literally go down on your hands and knees in the supermarket, look at the bottom shelf, and that's where you'll find it, you know.
Ashling says she has a Montes 2004 Madiran and a Chateau Le Monf 2009. Are either any good at this stage? Mm. I've had them for years, stored in a cold, dark basement.
Montes, did you say?
Montes, M-O-N-T-U-S.
Montes, Madiran. Now, Madiran is what we call a very rustic grape, and it's made, it makes quite rustic, sort of country-style wines from places like southwest France. It's usually used as a blending grape. It tends to be very, give you high alcohol. It's very powerful, lots of tannin. So if you've had it since 2004, chances are, again, depending on how you've stored it, that, you know, the grape variety is so robust it'll hold up. But it, once a rustic wine, always a rustic wine. You're never going to make a silk purse out of a sow's ear, because that Madiran doesn't make, you know, kind of really high quality. It's more of a rustic country wine style.
Yeah.
And the other wine she was the other wine she has
Is a Chateau Le Monf 2009.
Le Monf, I'm not familiar with that. Yeah. So I'm afraid I don't know, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I'd say JB Dornan will be the next James Bond. There's one texter.
I don't
Has
see
there been
it.
Much speculation about that? Not that I'm aware
no,
of.
No, not that Daniel Craig's back to do another.
Yeah.
Having said throughout his entire press tour for the last one that he wouldn't. So that kind of subsided again for a while. He is doing a few interesting projects though, like Dornan, we were talking about, where next from. And he's got a lot of good ones coming up, including a film called A Private War about Mary Colvin, the war correspondent.
Oh, right, died, when was that? Only a couple of years
ago. So that's certainly one would be on my radar.
Ah, right, yeah. I wonder who he's playing in that, because it was a photographer who she was great friends with, as I recall. He worked with her for years, and when she died, he wrote an article about her. So
it could be him, because he's second lead on it to Rosamund Pike, who I assume is playing Colvin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jamie Dornan was in the Czech Resistant versus Nazi film with Cillian Murphy. That was good. Forget the name though.
Anthropoid.
Yeah.
I really liked that. I thought it was really underrated, actually. It kind of came and went a little. And it tries to shoehorn a love story into the first hour of the film, which is a little bit problematic. But I thought when it actually becomes a conflict film, like the last 45 minutes of that are pretty epic now in terms of the battle that those Czech resistance fighters found themselves in and how it's recreated. It was really good. You'd get it on probably DVD or Netflix by now.
Can you ask Esther, does she know anything about this new movie Venom? I saw a trailer for it last night. It has Tom Hardy in it, which is a good start.
I'm afraid I know nothing about it.
Well, there you
I know it was announced recently.
Well, and it has Tom Hardy.
Yeah, and anything Hardy does is pretty. I don't think he puts a foot wrong most of the time.
Until he does.
Exactly.
What should I bring my girlfriend to see in the cinema on Valentine's Day that isn't 50 Shades of Grey? Putting it up to you now.
Actually, there are two new releases on Valentine's Day. One is the Shape of Water, which is kind of.
Oh, right, okay. That's, yeah.
Guillermo del Toro, the guy who did Pan's Labyrinth, kind of by default become the Oscar favourite this year, because nobody really can figure out what's going to win the best picture this year. And I suppose by the fact it has the most nominations, a lot of them for technical. It's very sweet. It's very good.
It's a kind of a love story from the trailer anyway.
It's a kind of a monster love story. It's very unusual. It's there are kind of moments of violence in it as well. It's not a pure romance, but it is, I think it'd be a good art house choice for Valentine's.
Okay.
And then what else? There's something else opening midweek. The Black Panther, the new Marvel.
Oh, right. Okay. Not really. Yeah.
Interesting, though, and welcome in the sense that it has nearly an entire black cast of black actors. So it's kind of really interesting. I'm glad it got made.
Okay.
It's decent. It moves along well. I don't think it's amazing, but there's plenty there to hold a story. Mm. And if you're looking for something not too taxing, it's a good option, you know.
Has Esther seen the 1517 to Paris or heard about the new Clint Eastwood?
No, that was only shown yesterday and I couldn't make the press screening. But the word on it is it's pretty dire.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which is a shame because I'm a big fan of Clint, but I think he's gotten it badly wrong as a director this time. He made a very unusual editorial decision, which was basically, so the title refers to a terrorist attack on a Thalys train in France about 2 years ago.
And he got the people who were actually involved in it to act in the film as themselves.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah.
There's a reason nobody's done it before, you know. And that apparently is the problem, the main problem with the film. As I say, I haven't seen it, but that seems to be the consensus. That it's a pity because it's an interesting story.
Yeah, it is an interesting story. It's amazing. He's still working, actually, at his age. I know it's a terribly ageist thing to say.
It is true. And he must be well into his 80s by now.
Yeah,
he's the same age as my father. He was born 1930, so he'll be 88 this
year.
Wow. Crikey.
Wow. Yeah. I still think that World War II double film that he did about 10 years ago is among his greatest work. He did Flags of Our Fathers and Letters to Iwo Jima, where he basically looked at the World War II US-Japanese conflict from both sides.
As a director, really he's had a fantastic role. Apart from the Monkey films, I think he directed those as well. Mm-hmm. But he's had a fantastic role
as a
director. Yeah. I have a 1971 Fonseca Vintage Port. Is it worth anything? I hate port, so I won't drink it.
Again, but in 1971, Fonseca is a fantastic wine, and it is still going to be. It's going to be absolutely beautiful now, unless you could get somebody to do a swapsy with you. You know, you might have a friendly off license who might do a swapsy with you, and you know, because it would be worth a good bit, all right. But again,
but it's one bottle.
It's just one bottle. I'm sorry, and this is the awful thing, you know.
Beefsteak available range is available in the Grapevine in Glasnevin. They have Malbec, Shiraz, and Tempranillo. So there's different sorts of beefsteak. There you go.
Yeah.
You can also get in Higgins off-license in Clonsky in Dublin. The original person, I don't know if they said what part of the country they were in, so hopefully you were in sort of the eastern part. Can you get Cabali IGP Cote Catalan red wine anywhere here? Fran wants to know.
Cabali, it's probably not. I haven't come across it. That's obviously somebody who was on holidays in Spain and in Catalonia, and they were in Barcelona and they were in a restaurant and they had this wonderful wine and they wrote it down or took a picture of the label while they were there. And then, you know, they want a memory of their lovely holiday in Barcelona. And unfortunately, it's probably not available here. Spain is about to overtake France with 12%. Of a 9 million case market. I don't know every single wine.
Yeah, absolutely.
Every single 9 million bottle.
Yeah, and
that's
a lot of these bottles, you know, that wine might have been just sold in that restaurant or, you know, just on that street.
And
that's
it could be
it.
Local guy that's a cousin of the guy who owns the restaurant and he buys it from him, you know.
Now, this one you will know. Someone says they found an old bottle of red wine in the cupboard from 1997. It's a Lebanese wine, Chateau Mazar. Is it drinkable? Would it still be drinkable? Chateau Mazar.
Myself and Tomas, I know he featured Mazar. Ashford Castle dinner.
It was
unbelievable.
I'd say it was.
And your man he gave us some of the old vintages. And look, the wine and the 97, I think we had the 96. I can't remember, God. Drink was taken at that stage and I wasn't making notes. Sorry. Bit of a blur there. Right.
The food carry me to bed now.
The food, and actually, the lamb's tongue. We had the lamb's tongue, which I ate. And a friend of mine was happy. He said, "You'll never eat the lamb's tongue. And I did, and I loved it, right? It was really nice.
Well, I think I've had lamb's tongue, yeah.
It's very nice. But the Mousar is wonderful. And yes, that is going to be a stunning wine.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, let's move on to our first
We're looking at Valentine's Day, right? And the first wine I've picked is a wine called Fincuslas Moris, and it's called Love, right? Because I just thought, well, it was so appropriate. And I have featured this on the show before, but, you know, I wanted to pick a wine that was for Valentine's Day, and I thought this was lovely. This is €12. It was only launched on the market last year, and you'll get it in Tesco, Spa and independent off licences. It's what we call a concept wine. It's from Argentina. The producer is Finca Las Moras. It's Malbec, which I know you love, Sean, mm-hmm. and it's aged for 8 months. You're one fella saying if you're taking the girl to the pictures, I'd cook her a nice dinner and said, I was thinking pictures, is he a bit of a cheapskate, you know? My thing would be, get yourself a nice steak and a lovely bottle of Argentinian Malbec. Bit of Dauphin potatoes, broccoli as well. I'm a great broccoli fan.
Yeah.
Cook a nice dinner, enjoy the bottle of wine between you and actually talk to each other. That's what it's all about. So, and this is the wine. Now, this is €12, I said, Tesco Spar. It's starting to take off and it's made by the same people who make Dada. You know that?
Oh, yes. Dada's lovely.
Dada
yeah.
is now in the top 20 wine brands in Ireland because, yeah. and it came out of nowhere in yeah. the last, say, 5 years. Right, so what I would say is buy this lovely Malbec, some nice, and you definitely need steak and real steak.
Rib steak
or a sirloin, yeah. Cheap steak.
Yeah,
here,
it'd be criminal
know?
To have anything else with it, yeah. other than a nice bit of
yeah.
steak.
And if you don't want to do posh potatoes, chips are fine.
Right. The hashtag is Finger Movies Mission Opposable. For instance, some of them are very clever and obscene at the same time. I thought the wine lady said that Cristal goes well with a pair of teeth, then realised she said a pair of teeth.
You're an aid fixed there. Pays as an aperitif. To be,
What movie would you like to talk about first?
Let's do 50 Shades of Weihei.
50 Shades of Weihei after this.
You insist on defying me, Mrs. Gray. What should I do about that?
Learn to live with it.
It's not my style. Do you remember your safe word?
Mm-hmm. Purple.
Yeah.
Red.
Good. Lift up your arms.
Actually, her safe word is, please ring my agent immediately. There's a clip from 50 Shades Freed there, and that was Christian and Anastasia.
Yeah. Do you want me to set up
lighting up the screen?
Do you want me to set up the dense plot point?
I saw the trailer. There seemed to be something kidnapping or something involved yeah. there.
It's like a really badly conceived 30-minute soap opera that's been stretched into 2 hours, punctuated with...
Smacking. Yeah.
Yeah. That's not an endorsement, by the way. It's just in case it sounds like it. Yeah. It's just, you know what? I'm a bit annoyed with myself. It took me 3 movies to figure this out. But Jamie Dornan's character is complete psycho. He's like, in any rational world, like she would have clapped eyes at him and spotted, oh, this guy is going to end up being Patrick Bergen's character and sleeping with the enemy after about 10 years of marriage. I better leg it now.
Oh, dear.
Even if he's really wealthy, because he comes across as very unsympathetic in this one, actually, because they get married, as you'll know, Sean, because I know you've followed the first 2 films avidly.
So I'm looking forward to it. Is there a big wedding scene here?
There's a big wedding scene with dresses and everything.
Lovely.
And soppy music.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gorgeous. But they go on honeymoon. They start getting jiggy with it very quickly. And
do they have do they have like normal sex at all? Did they have any quickies? You know,
or
is anyone like too tired and goes, I'll just roll over, you know? like normal people do.
You speak for yourself.
No, excuse me, sorry.
No, they don't. They have a lot more sex in this one, actually. Again, this is not an endorsement of the film, but there's a lot more sex scenes in this one, including more, as we call them, normal sex scenes. But like, they're not normal because she looks like Dakota Johnson. He looks Jamie Dornan. Do you know what I mean? And it's all coordinated. Yet, strangely, unsexy, because they just don't have any charisma together, this couple, and you don't believe them. You get great close-ups of individual face action, but you just don't believe them as a couple. You know, they don't gel. There's nothing sexy between them. We were just talking about Mickey Rourke and Kim Basinger there off air in 9.5 weeks, and you know there's nothing of that kind of caliber. You know, this is. Great sex, but it's bad movie sex. And there's a plot kind of tacked around it then. The plot's really flaccid, I suppose, is how I describe it.
So it just doesn't stand up as a plot.
It doesn't stand up. Yeah, so you get like a, so you get the wedding at the start, and then you know, he, as I said, he becomes a control freak even by his standards. Like, there's one day he arrives in the office in a huff after they got married because she hasn't changed her email address to her married name. I'm going,
meow. Somebody needs a good smack in the arse.
Well, that's the problem, though.
Yeah.
But
does she
like
give
that
him a good smack in the arse at all?
She does. The
all
the
right,
time.
Good. Yeah. Good, yeah. Good.
But I wouldn't be smacking his arse now if he came into my office sulking about an email address.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And she's not allowed sunbathed, topless on holidays, all this kind of stuff. Early on in the film, I suppose, is the point, which makes you're already going, oh, for God's sake. You know, that kind of way.
Mm.
Then we get some semblance of a plot in between the sex scenes, like really very much so in this film more than the others. And it's the sense that this guy called Jack Hyde, yes, that is his real name, is her ex-boss from the last film in the publishing house where she works, which Jamie Dornan's character bought, of course, again, because he's a psycho. And he has kind of come back for no apparent reason, really, other than that he's a cartoon cutout baddie. You know, you're given no characterization or anything like that.
No, yeah.
And he is kind of hell-bent on causing harm to her. So she's gone, it's a full-on stalker situation. And I suppose where that's allegedly supposed to be interesting is that it enables Dornan's character to become more protective and up the security and the control and stuff like that. And that's about it. But before long, our two bland heroes have a great deal more to worry about, because there is a big kidnapping and an attack in the film involving members of Mr. Grey's family. So they,
okay,
yeah,
okay. So it's not just this the Hyde character being the baddie. There's multiple baddies.
There's. It makes absolutely no sense, right? There are a couple of baddies. There are baddies hinted at. There is a character like a. There are characters that come in, and they're, you know, all the red flags are like, including one who's a real estate, a property makeover person, and she looks like a big psycho baddie, and then she just disappears for the rest of the film. It's just like stuff's raised and dropped. There's no sense to it. Like, it barely feels like a movie at all, this one. It's just like sex scenes punctuated with a bit of plotting.
Is Rita Ora in it?
Rita Ora is plays Jamie Dornan's character's sister in it. Yeah.
Should she stick to singing?
She's grand, actually.
Okay.
She's grand. Yeah. She's there. You know, they're
okay.
all there.
She's there. There's a review film.
But it just feels like, it just all feels like filler, any sort of plot. It's that, to pad out a film where they can just have a load of soft porn sex scenes again. And, you know, it's become laughably silly and over the top, but not in a ironic kind of way.
Mm.
It tries to let on it was in on the joke all along, but as I say, I don't buy a minute of that. And the major problem, I suppose, is, yeah, any investment you had in Anastasia as a character in the first film is like well gone. She's a complete dope. You know, she is just so stupid. It's unbelievable.
Who names their child Anastasia anyway?
I know.
Unless they're, you know, you're going to be a character in a Jackie Collins novel.
Yes, exactly.
Really.
And, you know, I think both their careers will survive this, but I'm kind of really glad they're done now. And I think
to
people who go, let's go along to this for the laugh, I would say this weekend, I'm not judging you. I'm really not judging you. But there's so many good movies out there at the moment.
Yeah.
There's plenty. And, you know, plenty in the way of comedy and drama. And you can do better, really. Because I would say the audience is the only one getting screwed here, you know?
Yeah. Kieran has been all judgy about. He says, right, so Jamie Dornan is embarrassed to be in these movies. Was he embarrassed to cash in the millions he made from them too? Sap, says Kieran.
I agree. Yeah.
Well, no, I think he was quite upfront. He said, I am embarrassed, but they're paying me a lot of money, so I'm going to do them.
Yeah. I mean,
that's fair enough.
I suppose contextualise as well what a big star Jamie Dornan has become in the last, like, 4 years ago, he was doing RTE drama. Like, it was very good drama where he played that serial killer. But the movie roles have only started coming in the last 2 years. So he, you know, I'm sure as well they were promised that it's going to be really interesting and complex and multi-layered and stuff as well as sexy, and that they'd
say that.
Remember Sam Taylor Johnson was the director of the first film,
does
quite arty movies, you know, and out there indie films. So I think it was going in some direction at one point, but it's gone firmly south by now.
If the 50 Shades books are written by a man, it would be dismissed as the misogynistic trash it is. Imagine the feminist reaction if it was, says Liam Owen Galway.
Yes. To be fair, I mean, I haven't read any of the books. I haven't a notion. But like when they came out, I think she got quite a bit of criticism levelled her way as well.
Yeah. Apart from written, appallingly written. Now, you don't have to read the book to find to know that. Just read the first paragraph and you'll know how appallingly written it is. Though somebody else says Jamie Dornan could paint himself and sit while he dries for 5 hours. Apparently that's something that they'd like to look at. Margaret says Jamie Dornan reminds me of the Milky Bar Kid, which I think is pretty insulting, actually, because the Milky Bar Kid was kind of like, you know, wore round glasses and was kind of a bit skinny.
And very blonde.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll tell you someone who names their child Anastasia, someone who's all out of love and needs to be set free, let her out of her misery, etc., etc. Okay, thank you very much for that contribution. Now, 25 years or so ago, I used to drink Bulgarian wine, which was surprisingly good, but haven't seen Bulgarian wine in Dublin for years. Any ideas where I can get any, Rob wants to know.
There's very, very little. And funny enough, I was in Bulgaria about 2 years ago. And yes, in the 1990s, Bulgarian wine was absolutely practically one of the number one selling countries of origin. There was just so much of it on the market. And the most interesting thing about Bulgarian wine is that it's mostly French grape varieties, right? So the New World then came in, Australia, Chile, they started, their wines sort of hit this market from the early 90s onward, and Bulgaria just fell off the cliff. There was one Bulgarian wine company called BVC, and they were mass producing nearly everything for the global market, and they were, you know, it's just never going to sustain that, just that one company. But funny enough, I went to see BVC and they're making some absolutely great wines. But again, trends for 2018, Hungary, Bulgaria, Romania, watch this space. You're going to start seeing there's very, very little on the market at the moment. But I think coming up, there will be, maybe not this year, but certainly next year.
You've seen Lady Bird?
Yes.
Yeah, go on. Somebody who seems to text in every week has texted in again saying.
I think it's because it's we've had to wait such a long time. It's like the bad old days where something came out in the States and we get to see it 5 months later, you know. It's been out in the States since before Christmas, and we get it on February 26th, and it is very sweet. I'm surprised it's getting the amount of award season attention it is, but that's not to diss it in any way. But for me, it's just like a very, very sweet American indie coming of age drama, which I'm totally on board with. And of course, our own Saoirse Ronan plays this kind of complicated teenage girl who, on the face of it, is desperate to kind of break out of her family and out of school life and out of California, actually, the small town that she lives in Sacramento in California, and get up to New York where it's all arts and culture and boys and college and stuff. And then it goes to very, very moving places. I have to say, there is a beautiful mother-daughter relationship at the heart of it all. And I remember reading an interview with Saoirse where she stalled on seeing the film until her own mum was able to come over to the States. And I would understand why you'd want to see a film like that with your mother, I have to say.
Yeah.
It's very sweet.
Okay, all right. The name of the wine that we were talking about already, the Malbec, is just Love.
It's Finca Las Moras is the producer, but it's just called Love. It's got L-O-V-E. I actually posted a picture on Twitter, so you can't miss it.
Paul says there are 1,609 Anastasias on Ireland's family register. Good man, Paul.
And didn't Sir Nicholas, who we were talking about
respect.
Earlier, wasn't one of his daughters called Anastasia?
That's true. I suppose context is everything there. Beefsteak is also available in the Muskerry Arms Bar and Restaurant in Blarney, County Cork. It's only gorgeous, says the texter. I assume referring to beefsteak rather than the Muskerry Arms Bar and Restaurant, which I'm sure is gorgeous too. Now, I'm not sure about this one. It's from Keith and Mullingar. I don't believe it.
All right, go on.
I think he's having a laugh. I haven't a clue about wine, but I'm after buying an old house in the country. In the cupboard under the stairs, I found a really old looking bottle of wine. It's called Chateau Lafite 1787. What should I do with this? I'm clueless, so I was thinking of using it for cooking pouring out the wine and using it as a candle holder.
Cooking is perfect. Put it in. A good beef stew now, it'll be fantastic.
That'll be fine for a Chateau Lafite, 1787. Yeah. Now, I was looking this up. I don't know if they were making wine in 1870 at that time.
Bordeaux, but, I mean, it was after the French Revolution that Bordeaux wasn't a wine region until the French engineers drained the marshlands. And when they drained the marshlands, they found all this wonderful gravel soil, and somebody had the great idea of planting grapes on it. It became one of the greatest red wine regions in the world. So when was the French Revolution? 1798.
Yeah.
Porky.
Yeah. In fact, actually, there was a vineyard there, but the owner of it was executed in 1794. So there you go. Right, one more wine, one more film to talk about after this. 53106 is our text number that will cost you 30 cent. Esther and Jean are still with us. Somebody wants to know why I, Tonya is not on general release in Ireland.
It's out the same weekend as Lady Bird, the 26th now. There's a weekend for your diary. Let's hope it rains yes. continually that weekend. Two great movies. Two that they'll count among the best of the year. I really, really loved I, Tonya. It's a guy by the name of Craig Gillespie, who made a film I loved a few years ago called Lars and the Real Girl, where Ryan Gosling fell in love with a sex toy. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Brilliant. And he just takes that kind of punkish vibe that he seems to have and runs a mile with it. And a great, great script about the story of Tonya Harding and how she... they tell the story almost to camera, approach. But they tell that you're none the wiser by the end of it, because they're all lying about each other,
yeah,
basically.
Because we don't know actually whether how much she knew about that whole attack.
But then it's more than just that as well, because it's a statement on, you know, on class in America, a country we're told again and again doesn't have a class system.
Yeah.
And how Tonya Harding, by being an athlete rather than a princess, and a brilliant skater, but just because of her background and the fact that she... Now, some of the outfits were a bit out there. They were like doilies, you know. Mm. They were kind of a bit white trashy, to use for want of a better phrase. But just how she struggled to survive within that world because she didn't fit a mold, you know, that's really well handled in the film as well.
Yeah.
And I have to say, Margot Robbie is terrific in it.
Chris says, Jamie Dornan has the charisma of a Brillo pad. Sure. Did you see him try to do a Kerry accent in Jadoville? The Lucky Charms leprechaun would do a better job. A coat stand has more range than him, says Chris. Wow.
He got a lot of slagging, but I thought he was perfectly good in Jadoville, I have to say. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Bill in Mayo, this sounds like it's not very romantic, but as he explains it, I think it is. Bill says, what wine would the wine lady recommend to have with liver and onions? I know, it's a romantic gesture, as my wife loves liver and I, on the other hand, very much don't.
Well, try the Love Malbec, you know. I mean, Malbec goes with any sort of meat, and like there's a nice ripe sweetness to that, and the liver is obviously, because it's offal, there's that tang to it. And actually, I love liver and onions as well. Lovely meat. And if your wife loves it, then that is a really romantic gesture.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's move on to our bubbles.
Swiftly, this is pushing the boat out. Bollinger Rosé. I love Bollinger. It's one of my favourite champagnes. And I was lucky enough to visit there in 1996. And it made me realise what a beautiful wine style it was. This is expensive. It's €80 a bottle. It's the rosé, so it tends to be a little bit more pricey. O'Brien's, Mitchell & Sons, Shoe Divine, Celtic Whiskey Store, Searson's in Monkstown, Thomas & Fox Rock, mainly independent off licences. But the thing about Prosecco has killed off champagne, right? But you've got to look at the layers of complexity that are in champagne, okay? Champagne is made in a very complex method where the second fermentation takes place in the bottle. I'm not going to go into it all now, we haven't time. There's these deep, dark chalk cellars in Vallée de la Marne where they have gone deep, deep underground, and this is where the champagnes are aged. The whole process of making it is very complex and, you know, very expensive. So that's why it costs so much. I mean, do consumers realise that Prosecco is made from a grape called Glera that's fermented in a tank and bottled under pressure? That's why it's so cheap.
Mm.
And nowadays, everybody... you know, it's Prosecco, Prosecco, Prosecco. But champagne is a premium brand. And if you really want to push the boat out for Valentine's Day and give yourself a real treat, champagne is worth it. The other factor is acidity. One of the key selling points of the champagne, it's a northern French wine region. There's not a lot of sunshine there. It's made from three grapes, Pinot Noir, Meunier and Chardonnay. When they come out, they're kind of acidy. And the aging process is what makes this wine so absolutely complex. Now, I've just tried the Bollinger Rosé. Smell it. You're getting that brioche, that aged, really kind of, you know, kind of very typical, like for a rosé, because this is made mainly from Pinot Noir and Meunier. And in fact, Bollinger's classic statements, they've always tended to prefer to use more red grapes than white grapes. And so that gives the wines a bit of a bite. And also, let's not forget, it's James Bond's favourite champagne.
Is it?
Yes.
Yes.
And all
but
the movies.
Pink Bolly.
I don't know about whether it's the pink one or not, liked, but he was a Bolly man too, right? I love Bollinger. I think this is absolutely gorgeous. You know, it's a real push the boat out wine for Valentine's Day. It's pink. You know, it's if you really, really want to surprise somebody. And you know what? You'll just, in fact, so, funny, I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday and it was his niece's 18th birthday and all the girls ever drink his Prosecco. And he said he and his sisters opened a bottle of champagne. He said, my God, it was fantastic. He said, you know, and he said that was the treat for the 18-year-old. They actually got the bottle of champagne. And he said, we loved it. And I said, yeah, because Prosecco's taken over the market and it's the sort of the drink of choice now. But, you know, really, to try good champagne, you see the difference and
how
good
it is. You do, actually. Absolutely. You absolutely do. Does the wine lady know where to buy Atta Maria, formerly known as Tamara? It's a New Zealand Sauve Blanc.
That is here, definitely. But I'm not sure where it is. I'd have to look it up. It's definitely here because the New Zealand Wine Fair was on about 2 weeks ago and Tamara was in, I would say, restaurants and independent off licenses.
Right, so yeah. Bit of a scout around, you'll find it. Hilary says, I just can't believe all these people who keep their wine for years. It wouldn't last an hour in our house. Yeah, true for you. Myself and the lads are heading to the match on a night out in Dublin tomorrow. Can the wine lady tell us the best wine to drink in Coppers? Depends on, you know.
I thought it was all about shots and Coppers.
Well, there you go. They want you to look a bit sophisticated in Coppers.
Cocktails.
They should drink an Italian wine.
Oh, yes.
And then pretend to be downcast Italian supporters, presuming that Ireland win. And
what
then they might get a bit of sympathy.
Good idea.
That's my advice. Right, we'll move on to our second film of the day. It is The Mercy. In this clip, after some major delays in building of the boat, Donald has been forced to put back his departure date. Claire approaches him with concerns about his trip.
Donald, are you really going to go?
That's still the plan.
Do you know, I think I fooled myself into thinking we were just building a boat. I didn't think I'd actually have to watch you sail away on it.
That's what boats do. They sail away.
And then they sail back again. You promised me that.
I won't have you worry. Never.
That's good to hear.
And then they went into a room and he tied her up and spanked her silly.
No, Sean, that's the other film.
Oh, I get confused. Sorry. Right. So have they been in any films before?
I don't think they have.
All right. Look, you kind of assume they must have been because there's a kind of a type of film they both appeared
in. Absolutely.
In British dramas where everyone's holding in their emotions.
Yeah. And I'm hearing great buzz. I'm a big Rachel Weisz fan, and which is why I'm so cross that they've underused her here. Wasted her. She gets too little, but Fresh and Frown, and she's a much better actress than that. But I hear she's got a film at the Dublin Film Festival called Disobedience, which is supposed to be super. I'm hearing great buzz for it. I think funded partly by the film board here as well, shot here last year. So yeah, I love her, but she's just the fretting wife here and is given little to do. And you just see the calibre of everyone attached to this. You go, how did it go so wrong? Because you've got James Marsh directing here. I love Colin Firth as well. David Toulis is great in this, by the way. He's in a supporting role as Donald Crowhurst's press agent, kind of a conniving character, and he's having great fun with it. So it's not all bad. But when given the calibre of the people involved, like James Marsh here is directing, he made a wonderful documentary called Man on Wire years ago that I think got an Oscar nomination about the Frenchman who walked the wire between Twin Towers.
Yeah,
and then moved very seamlessly enough into fiction features with the very excellent Shadow Dancer. It was a thriller set around Northern Ireland politics. And he made The Theory of Everything a couple of years ago, which got a lot of Oscar attention, as if you can remember. So I think they were going for the same here. They thought this is going to be the stiff upper lip, Brit heroic drama for this year's Oscars. You know, we get a couple every year. But I think the main problem with it for me, Donald Crowhurst is a deeply unsympathetic character. Like, the just he, you first of all, from the outset, you think he's mad to even try to circumnavigate by boat, you know, around a world yacht race, because he's not an experienced sailor. He's an experienced pleasure cruiser.
Yeah.
And then it kind of lost me when he remortgaged the house. He's got four young kids, and it was like, I'm going to remortgage the house to get finance here to, you know, pursue my dream. And I was like, hello?
Imagine why he's not beat the dirt out of him.
Yeah. And then he goes on, of course, famously, anyone who'll know anything about Crowhurst, he famously went on to commit fraud throughout the race. Now, that's more sensitively handled. And you do think that he's doing this to kind of protect his family and stuff, because there's growing media interest in the story in the States.
Mm.
And basically, he's not out past Bull Harbour wall, like, when he starts running into trouble. Like, it's early and often, and, you know, and he has a lot of calamities. But he starts, this was pre-GPS days, so he starts sending navigation points and that shows him much further.
Yeah.
So he, you know, tragically wrapped himself up in this big, big dilemma from which it was very, you know, very, very difficult for him to get out. But I just didn't see it as kind of heroic or moving in any way. I just thought, what are you doing? You have a grand family there. And
Stay where you are. Should have stayed at home.
Yeah.
Should be the title of it. Anyway, all right. Well, that's neither great shakes today, I'm afraid. Mm-hmm. Our hashtag on Twitter is Finger Movies Silence of the Limbs, for instance. Here's Claire to tell us about some good things to do this weekend.
Okie doke, there's loads on. In Cork tonight, Anna Mitchell and Band are having an album launch of the title Anna Mitchell and Band, self-titled, as it's a personal celebration. So that's 9 p.m. Tickets are €10 in Coughlin's Live. Then tomorrow, Dublin Roots Band, I Draw Slow, are in Whelan's tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Tickets for this are €15. You can go to whelanslive.com for information there. The Rocky Horror Picture Show, Andy Valentine's Delight, is on in the Sugar Club tomorrow night at 8:30 p.m. So as well as screening the cult classic, there's going to be guest appearances and prizes for Best Dressed. Tickets are €20. Thesugarclub.com for all the information there. And finally, on Sunday at 7 a.m, Shauna Boyle's new documentary, Women Like Me, is airing. This looks at how people with inbuilt immunity to viruses are helping new research. So that's on News Talk at 7 a.m. Sunday.
Excellent stuff. Ivan's up next on News Talk, of course. Thanks, as ever, to Jean and Esther. Our production team today, Niamh Hassel, Claire Collins, Michael Culligan, Anne-Marie Kane and Elaine Power. We'll talk to you on Monday at 2 o'clock. Have a nice weekend.
I'm just a poor boy. Hoping
Moncrief on News Talk
with Gas Networks Ireland. Natural gas is compatible with a wide range of modern appliances. Gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.